Future Media and UN Namibia support the fight against COVID-19. This interview is with a medical expert on some of the most common questions about COVID-19 and vaccines.
Dr. Omar, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
There are a lot of myths online about both the virus and the vaccines. How dangerous is this kind of misinformation? And what role is it playing in vaccine hesitancy?
Well, it is very dangerous because fighting the virus does not only involve the biology of our interventions, but also the behavioral aspects of our interventions. So we want people to comply with social distancing measures. We want people to take the vaccine when it's their turn, and so on and so forth. So all of that is influenced by these kinds of rumors and misinformation, and in a few cases, actual outright disinformation, meaning intentionally spread wrong information.
Dr. Omar, what do you think is the reason behind that? What do you think is fueling misinformation in the safety and effectiveness of vaccines?
Well, there are several reasons, but a lot of it is the fact that this is a new strain. This is a new virus. There's unfamiliarity with this kind of a virus, not in the scientific community, but broadly speaking. And so the novelty aspect creates a vacuum that can be filled in by all sorts of information of various level of credibility and veracity. And so that is indeed concerning, but it is not hopeless. There are interventions that we can deploy to mitigate the impact of some of these things.
Talking about interventions, Dr. Omar, although social media platforms have taken initial steps in addressing misinformation related to COVID-19 vaccines, the opinions and personal beliefs are still pretty challenging to navigate. How do we tackle misinformation, whether that's at family dinners or WhatsApp groups? What do you think can be done to build that trust in the safety of COVID-19 vaccines?
So that's a really good point. So narrowly speaking, is to arm ourselves with the right information, but also to engage our loved ones with a level of empathy. And often outright correcting misinformation can have actually backfiring consequences, but not always. And so therefore, the way to do that is to connect to people's values, find the core common ground that you have, and then share information and maintain a relationship of trust with those who are engaged in amplifying some of this information.
Vaccines, as you know, can be a divisive topic among parents in many places. We know parents who have concerns or questions about COVID-19 vaccine safety, or those who are on the fence, can be easily confused or swayed by all the misinformation out there. What would you say to parents watching right now?
What I would say is that vaccines are developed using processes that have been refined and defined over a long period of time. And the system is geared towards addressing some of the most important concerns that people may have about vaccines, to preempt them, to make sure that vaccines are effective as well as safe. But we also should remember that non-vaccinations is not a benign decision. It's not a passive decision. We have a social norm of vaccination since we all depend on each other to maintain low rates of vaccine hesitancy or low rates of vaccine-preventable diseases in various populations. Everyone's behavior impacts everyone else. And so therefore, even at the individual level, for your own child or for yourself, non-vaccination is an active act which has consequences, which has impact both at the individual level and the collective level. So I'm sure most people want to do the right thing, and doing the right thing is to follow science, and science which is developed by independent scientists, folks that do not have a conflict of interest, for example, and evaluated independently. And so that is the way to go, both collectively and individually.
I can only imagine the struggle that this is for public health experts around the world. On a more hopeful note, what are the positive trends that you're seeing emerging in the uptake of vaccines?
Well, there are a few things that are encouraging. A lot of people who initially expressed concerns about vaccines are now, after seeing the success of this vaccine in early vaccinees in terms of efficacy and safety, are changing their minds. The question is whether the group that has changed their minds is high enough, whether enough people have sort of moved to the direction of doing the right thing and getting vaccinated. And so therefore, I think that we will have to wait and see, but it will also require interventions, mass education and communications around it, and to make sure that that our interventions and our education and communications programs are not just transparent and evidence-based, they're effective as well.
You've given us something to be hopeful for and to look forward to. What is your big takeaway at this point? This is our second year into the pandemic. Are you more hopeful? Are you more concerned? Are you a little frustrated?
Well, it's a little bit all three of these things, depending on the time of the day that you ask me. We have vaccines available that will be part of the end game of this pandemic in terms of making it manageable, controllable, and going back to a normal situation. It will be a new normal, but it won't be a dystopian normal. It will be a normal that would involve us interacting as humans with each other, not just through computer screens, but also in person. But there is some time before we get to that, so it will not be like a turning on a light switch. It will be like a dimmer that we slowly turn it up. But the frustrating part is that we want to have the benefits of these interventions distributed equitably, not just in terms of geography, but in terms of time as well. We need to get it to everyone soon. And so that's the, when you asked me about the frustrating part, that's the frustrating part. We need to work with, to borrow from Martin Luther King Jr., with the fierce urgency of now, because cost of inaction and cost of delayed action is human lives. And so the hope is that we as a global community will come together to make sure the vaccines are not just developed and evaluated as they have been, but they are produced in large numbers, they're deployed quickly, and as importantly, equitably. They're deployed in a fashion where the most vulnerable get the vaccine as well as the rest of us.
Slowly but surely we will get there. Dr. Omar, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for your perspective.
This interview is part of the Future Media and UN Namibia COVID-19 awareness campaign. To listen to all the interviews and content we've done, visit the podcast page on futuremedia.com.na.